All right, let's bring in our next guest. I'm really excited to bring on the lady who has created the Reunion Diet. She is Lisa Dorfman. First of all, Lisa, she is the running nutritionist.
She's from Miami, though.
Well, no, first of all, I got to tell
Florida.
You, she also...
More South Florida connection here.
The other thing about her is that her personal best, she's run a bunch of marathons. And her personal best marathon,
yeah,
she would kick the fat the well, no Dr.
Kidding.
Fitness's butt.
Well, it's not a competition, Doctor.
Well, look, 252, my best, 315. I can't even
You're not
keep
even
up.
In the ballpark.
I'm not even in the ballpark with her. She's world class. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now, Lisa, the Reunion Diet, first of all, I love a lot of the things that you talk about here.
A lot? Not all of
yeah,
them?
Yeah, not
all
There's
some things you don't like.
Well, no, first of all, I
Let's
like...
Let's start there with the things you don't like.
No, this is what I really liked about the Reunion Diet. This is the best tip I saw. Don't bring your spouse.
Nice.
Don't bring your spouse. You go to the reunion. Leave your spouse. It's all about you. Leave your spouse. They shouldn't even think about coming. Is that correct?
You know, I absolutely agree. I think that the reunion is all about you and your relationships with people from your past. I find it like free therapy. I think it's great to go back in time and sort of hash out, you know, any relationships that... You know, maybe you didn't get to finish. You
now,
know?
Was the motivation behind this book, your reunion, was that when you decided, you know what, I'm going to write this book because you have your reunion coming up?
You know, my motivation was 27 years in practice as a nutritionist and psychotherapist dealing with thousands of people who were reunionizing in some way, shape, or form, either on Facebook or, you know, meeting an old friend for lunch or the big one, you know, the high school reunion.
Right.
And so we, my co-author, Sandra Gordon, and myself decided to conduct some research on the topic because, frankly, there was nothing out there.
Right.
And what we found, and this was very scientific on Facebook, but not really, but very interesting information about people who go back to their reunions, the sort of why behind it. You know, the things that they do, diet, fashion, fitness. The why was very interesting, though.
Now, Lisa, why is it that the women seem to look more beautiful at the reunion and the guys seem to got more losing their hair and fat? Is that a common,
you know what?
Is that a common
I just
across the board?
My 30th reunion, and I think, you know, I was taken back at the 10th because, you know, at the 10th reunion, I don't know what it is about you guys, but you get real comfy in your skin. And I think that, you know, women, I don't want to say try harder, but are more insecure, I guess. And
uh-huh.
So they work harder at maintaining and updating their look.
Right.
I think they have more pressure on them. The guys don't care.
Yeah, the guys, right. The guys can lose it and still somehow, the women, and also women can still find something attractive about a guy even when he's not attractive. Whereas guys,
well,
they really can't
money.
Fake it. Guys, really, they're either attracted or they're not. They can't fake it, rightly?
You well, know what? There's something hot about dumpy, bald guys.
Right.
Well, especially if they have a lot of money. If they have a lot of money, then they can be extremely attractive.
You know, the truth of the matter is, though, that we found that there were three distinct sort of time frames that people use to get into shape. 1 month or less, 2 to 6 months, and 6 to 12 months or more. And with that 1 month or less, you know, those weekend warriors and those shake and frozen meal sort of folks, it tended to be younger guys than any other group.
Right.
Whereas as you went along in the time, you know, spans, the longer it took, the more women you found sort of with the personal trainers and the food diaries and the dietitians that were helping them to accomplish their goals.
Now, Lisa, the book is called The Reunion Diet, but isn't this really about creating an event to really have something that you're
training for?
Like you're training for, you know, it could be a reunion, it could be a wedding, it could be, you know, let's say for people who are involved in a lot of these cancer walks or marathon runs, you're creating some sort of event where you're motivated to achieve a goal.
You know, you're absolutely right. And, you know, our motto, if you will, is life is a series of reunions. I can't tell you how often I go on Facebook and see people posting new and better photos of themselves. And so I think that we could reunionize in lots of different ways, like I said, online, at a lunch date, It's for every event in your life. I even had one of the top sports nutritionists in the country, Nancy Clark, write a review for the book, and she said to me, you know what, this book is really great for boxers and athletes who need to make weight. Because
right.
that's, you know, my boxers and taekwondo athletes and sailors, you know, some of them need to, you know, hit weights, and it's very, very difficult in a few weeks period of time to drop 10 pounds healthfully. And that's really the intent. We don't want people dropping weight, you know, to drop on the dance floor.
Right.
We want them to be healthy in the end and maybe even make some, you know, lifelong habits.
Now, you have an interesting background in terms of combining a psychotherapy and also being a nutritionist. A lot of times people don't see the connection. The fat guy doesn't think there's any connection between the mind and
the body.
And the body at all. But there's this term called mindless eating, and where people
and
just
mindful eating.
And mindful eating as well.
Where and people, just eating.
And where people – and also people get into this place where they just – their brain shuts off completely. They don't associate – you know, they're distracted. They're sitting down. They're reading the newspaper. They're watching TV. And how do you focus in on this, and how much of your practice is using your skills as a psychotherapist with nutrition?
Right. Well, first of all, Brian's a very good friend of mine.
Brian Wansink.
Nice, nice
yes.
name drop.
I like
ding,
Brian.
Ding, name drop.
We
He's
were
a funny
in,
guy.
Italy together at a meeting just this past February. You know, it's like, did you see Animal House?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, one of my favorites.
Do you remember the scene where
John's a good friend of mine.
Really drunk, and he had like a little angel on one side,
right,
and a
right.
little devil on the other side? I think that we all have this little food angel and food devil, you know, sitting on our shoulder saying, go for it.
Right.
Eat it. Go. It's good. It's tasty. And then you have the other side saying, wait a minute. Don't you want to get into shape? Don't you? But we have what's called food trajectories. We have these relationships, men and women, have these relationships with food. Food connotates good times, maybe sadness, maybe making yourself feel better, maybe it reminds you of mom or grandmom. And so these relationships with food is something that I spend a great deal of time with, whether I'm with an Olympian athlete from another country who I have to be very conscious of their traditional eating habits. You don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You have to maintain some sense of, I don't know, it's kind of like heartfelt foods.
Right.
At the same time, you have to kind of get a better understanding of this mindless eating. You know, why do we sit there and just with a big bag of chips just eat away? So some sort of behavioral management. I actually patented an eating utensil called Chopsticks. And these chopsticks, which resemble chopsticks, help people to slow down their rate of eating, you know, get a little bit more zen about what they're doing.
Lisa, we can – maybe if you want, we can partner up, because me and the fat guy came up with our line of ways.
They're taser-based.
No, it's weighted silverware, like 10-pound forks, 10-pound knives. And you know, if you do 10 lifts, your shoulders are wiped out too.
It's upper body workout.
There's only so many times you can put the fork in your mouth before fatigue, before muscle failure.
Well, people don't make that connection, and that's the unfortunate part. They kind of go into this sort of fugue state where they're just, I don't know, in food land, just
right.
eat and eat and eat. Or some people justify it, and there was recently some research on exercise and food, and a big article in Newsweek magazine about how, you know, you really have to pay attention to the diet side, because there's so many people that go out and exercise and say, oh, I could eat whatever I want, and they never lose the weight that they need to.
Nope.
So there's definitely a balance between the two and some kind of connection, whether you're using weighted silverware or chopsticks or writing it down, but something to make that connection.
What do you think about also the theory, especially with David Kessler's book, The End of Overeating, talking about how certain food combinations of salt, sugar, and fat, the right combination is as addictive as heroin? You know,
I am not sure about the combinations, but certainly something like sugar – is very addictive for some people, especially women, because of hormones.
Right.
And because of a little neurotransmitter, this nerve chemical in the brain called serotonin, which is really basically like heroin. So when people eat very sugary foods, they feel like kind of high. So I have like this whole subgroup of clients who, you know, at the end of the day, the end of this very stressful day at work, will just like go through a drive-thru or hit, you know, their favorite grocery store, even if it's Whole Foods, and get something really, really sugary to eat. It's almost like they're, you know, injecting heroin at the end of the day.
Right.
It's very addictive. It's very soothing. Unfortunately, you know, the result is maybe about 30 to 45 minutes until your blood sugar drops and you're craving that dope again.
Well, I don't like these analogies towards heroin because heroin
the
people...
The fat guy had a little issue.
Heroin addicts are never fat.
Yeah. You know? No, Artie Lang was fat.
Well, he had other issues.
Yeah, but listen...
He wasn't using enough heroin.
Lisa,
so
give
sugar
us...
Sugar is really that, you know, addictive factor. Fat and salts... is probably, you know, top two and three. People crave fats. Salts we crave since we're in the womb, really. So, you know, you'll just find people eating very, you know, cheese is a big craver, craving food, ice cream, chips, crackers, even cereal. Some of our cereals are so high in sodium that people just... you know, dope up with them.
Now, give us some of the top tips you have from the reunion diet, some of the things that if you're going to be going to your reunion or if there are things that are going on, what are some of the things that people need to do, first of all, to get themselves ready to get on the reunion diet?
Well, you know, again, it goes back to those time frames. How long in advance have you taken the time to prepare? Number one, you got to do some kind of exercise. I don't care what it is. You got to get out there. In Miami, it's very easy to just walk outside and sweat. Maybe a little bit tougher in Atlanta and some of the northern parts of the country, but you got to do something that's going to burn some calories. Number two, I say get color in your diet.
Color.
Get at least five colors in your diet.
I like that.
If you go for fruits and vegetables, low-fat dairy, low-fat cheese, laughing cow cheese, baby bell cheese, get your calcium, lean meats, whether it's fish or chicken, white meat chicken and turkey, tofu if you're a vegetarian, you got to get some kind of lean protein. And I say at every meal because, and I don't mean large amounts, but small amounts to keep you satiated throughout the day. And number three, you got to get those essential fats. You know, those omega-3s are so critical in terms of preventing inflammation, controlling blood pressure. And then, you know, comes the big day. Then you just got to get ready.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't wear something that's maybe back from high school.
Yeah, you got to update it.
Something that you think is going to make you look young, because it looks ridiculous, really, in the long run. So wear something age-appropriate. Wear something, you maybe try it out a few times before you just show up to this darn thing, especially shoes for the women. They tend to buy these big, tall shoes and then, you know, their feet are killing them at the end of the night.
What about that fake tan stuff? Should you go with the
orange?
If you grew up in New Jersey and your reunion's like in, you know, is like in November, should you show up like with a like your bronze, like you just walked out of South Beach, or should you go with just the natural color of, you know, the winter?
I think that you should go to your, you know, local department store. They do free makeup, you know, at the counters there. They will make you look beautiful. I mean, maybe I'll have to buy a eye blush or a foundation. Even men, I mean, makeup is wonderful and does wonderful things naturally.
Yeah.
I really, you know, being from Miami, it's just so offensive to me to see people who look orange at events. I just find it very unnatural. Same thing with plastic surgery. You don't want to get plastic surgery the week before, you know, your reunions.
Yeah.
You know, a little Botox, maybe, you know, some microdermabrasion on your skin a couple weeks before, freshen up, you know, get you that fresh look, but nothing major.
Lisa, this was the thing that didn't prepare me for my 25-year high school reunion, which I was unaware of, but I didn't change very much from high school, but what I noticed about a lot of people is that they did. So the passage of time really bummed me out. knowing that all these people have all fallen apart, even though I didn't, it really bummed me out when I got home. I'm like, boy, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like if go to the 50th reunion.
It's like survivor guilt. You know, it's like when there's been a major catastrophe and you've survived and other people haven't or haven't fared so well. So there's this kind of guilt, but you should really ride on your good looks and feeling good about yourself, because I think what a lot of people do is they allow life to take its toll on their body, and they don't put their body number one. You've got to put your body number one. Your health is number one. So even if you've been through some bad divorces, you have some troubled, you know, kids, you live in a tough neighborhood, you got to find some time during the day, and it's three things. It's really food, fitness, and, you know, some kind of, I don't want to get all spiritual here, but some kind of faith, you know, where you're taking the time to either meditate or go to a, you know, some kind of religious service, something to make you feel at peace.
Lee, are you listening to this? You hear what Lisa's saying? You need some sort of spiritual peace. That's the thing you're missing.
What about other apps? There's other apps that can relax you.
I don't know. But Lisa, now tell me about your background in sports and stuff. I know that you're are you still a competitive runner? Are you still doing a lot of?
I was a professional triathlete for 6 years. Hurricane Andrew hit just at my, you know, peak in triathlons, and we lost everything.
Were you down in Homestead? Is that where you were living?
We were actually living in a suburb called Pinecrest, which is really just south of the University of Miami.
Oh, okay.
We were the most northern house to get hit.
Congratulations.
Now that's not good.
but you know what? It was a great lesson in life, because if you have your health and your family, really, you know, you're doing pretty well. I'll actually be in Haiti next week volunteering at our UM hospital, and you know, just take me right back to those hurricane days when, you know, people have nothing. It's just really quite terrible. But so I focused on my running, and actually it was the Atlanta Marathon. It was the inaugural Olympic marathon course. I had done Boston, my second marathon in 3:11, and I went to Atlanta. I was in the lead at the race.
Oh man, where was the? Did you have to go past Stone Mountain?
Was the Olympic course for the 2006 Olympics.
Okay,
and I was in first place till the last 27 seconds of the race.
What?
I am not kidding you.
Did you know anybody was around you?
This gal passed me.
Was she from Kenya?
She was from Kenya. Short hair. And, you know, everybody kept on screaming, you're in the lead. So, but I did cut 10 minutes that race. I ran a 3:01. I was very happy because it was my first race, you know, after Hurricane Andrew. It was in November on Thanksgiving Day weekend.
Wow.
And then the times just started dropping from there. I just seemed to excel at distance running. So 34 marathons later, an Ironman was my last pro race as a triathlete, but I still compete. I'm still a sponsored athlete. I will be 50 in February, and I plan to be the fastest in the country at some distance.
50? You're kidding me. You look fantastic. Holy smokes.
Thank you. I feel good. I've had a great life. I'm married a long time. I've got wonderful children. I've been blessed. I'm doing okay.
The book is The Reunion Diet. Where is there also a website that people can find more information about you?
TheReunionDiet.com.
Recipes and fitness guidance. www.TheReunionDiet.com.
TheReunionDiet.com. Well, we really appreciate you coming on the show today. Everybody should go up and pick a copy of this. We didn't give any tips on, you know, what happens at the reunion. You know, what happens at the reunion stays at the reunion, right?
That's
in the book, right? We didn't say anything about that.
You don't have to kiss and tell, but you know what? You want to go in one piece, so practice your lines, maybe volunteer for the event, connect with people beforehand, just so you know, ease that little, you know, anxiety thing going on, because everybody gets a little crazy before the reunion.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on the show today, Lisa. Have a great day, and we look forward to talking in the future real soon.
My pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That's Lisa Dorfman. Check her out at TheReunionDiet.com. The book is The Reunion Diet. Lose weight and look great at your reunion and beyond.
Great stuff. And when you're online, make sure you check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our soon-to-be-released book, 35 Ways to Raise an Active Child. We're not talking about a fat kid and a kid that's not working out.
Anybody could raise a fat kid.
Yeah. We're talking about an active kid.
A kid that's going to work out for the rest of their lives. Very important stuff. And also online, make sure you check out some of our past great interviews. Check out Lisa Lillian, The Hungry Girl. Check out Jillian Michaels. Check out our past interview with one of our top fitness editors that's out there. Roy Johnson was actually on our show recently. He check out his past interview as well. And also check out our book as well, You Can't Lose Weight Alone, the Partner Power Weight Loss Program. And great stuff.